Good morning. It's Tuesday, 11th of May. Our first reading for the day is Deuteronomy 28. Once again, I'm reading from Brother Harry Tennant's book on Moses. I read, "In some things, the standard set by God was obviously kept. The unreaped corners of the fields, the gleanings of the vineyards and the ungathered olives, all taught of compassion and bounty. If the Lord was not tight-fisted, then they were not to be. If the Lord had blessed them bountifully, then they were to allow their cup to run over into the mouths of others. Everywhere the character of the Lord was to be shown in the everyday things of life. There was something very penetrating about this kind of law. Wherever a man was, whatever he was doing, he could bring the law of God into his simplest actions. God spoke to him in the field, in the town or village, in the home, in his garments, in the natural functions of his own body. God was nigh unto him. This was a divine provision, so that those who lived anywhere in the land, however far away from the place where the Lord's name would rest, could practice the principles of the law of God. These were the things which Moses himself had done on an even higher plane. He had carried these things into all his thinking, his speaking, and manner of life. Had they obeyed, the Lord would have fulfilled his promise to make them high above all nations which he hath made, in praise and in name and in honour, that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken. All these laws were to be gathered up in the statements of Ebal and Gerizim, which Moses gave once again in detail, stating the tribes which should stand upon the one mountain, and those who would stand over against them on the other. This blessing and cursing should remain in their ears as an encouragement and warning, to give even greater emphasis, and to reach down into their subsequent history, even to our own day and beyond. Moses then pronounced those blessings which would follow obedience, and the cursings which would surely come upon them if they forsook the Lord their God. We need not detail them. The list is too long. But the Jews in many lands and at different times have taken up the words, 'Would God it were morning.' The great scattering so plainly foretold, from one end of the earth even unto the other, has taken place. The wandering Jew has been seen and despised in every land. He still feels restless everywhere and keeps apart. If any man should ask wherefore the Lord has done this unto his chosen people, the record of Moses, their beloved leader, stands clear, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers. That is why. But that is not all. In the same great speech were words of hope and compassion. When all these things come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity, and have compassion on thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee." This happened in the days of Daniel and Ezra and Nehemiah. There were some who prayed for the land and its people, and the Lord had compassion. In our own time, perhaps in answer to the prayers of the saints, for the Jews were strangely slow of heart to believe, the words have received the most startling fulfilment of all time, heralding, no doubt, the coming of the prophet, priest and king, the greater than Moses, in whom all these offices are perfected. May he come soon. Thank you for listening.